Listening Library presents As Old as Time, A Twisted Tale by Liz Braswell. Read for you by James Patrick Cronin.
Part 1. Once Upon a Time. Once upon a time, in a faraway land, a young prince lived in a shining castle. Although he had everything his heart desired, the prince was spoiled, selfish, and unkind. But then, one winter's night, an old beggar woman came to the castle and offered him a single blood-red rose in return for shelter from the bitter cold. Repulsed by her haggard appearance, the prince sneered at the gift and turned the old woman away, although she warned him not to be deceived by appearances, for true beauty is found within. And when he dismissed her again, the old woman's ugliness melted away to reveal a beautiful enchantress. The prince tried to apologize, but it was too late, for she had seen that there was no love in his heart. As punishment, she transformed him into a hideous beast and placed a powerful spell on the castle and all who lived there. "You have until the eve of your 21st birthday to become as beautiful on the inside as you were on the outside. If you do not learn to love another and be loved in return, by the time the last petal of this rose falls, you, your castle, and all within will be cursed and forgotten forever." Ashamed of his monstrous form, the beast concealed himself inside his castle, with a magic mirror as his only window to the outside world. As the years passed, he fell into despair and lost all hope. For who could ever learn to love a beast? It was a very good story. It often entertained the woman who lay in her black hole of a room, manacled to a hard, cold bed. She had enjoyed its repetition in her mind for years. Sometimes she remembered bits differently. Sometimes the rose was as pink as a sunrise by the sea. But that never resonated as well as red as blood. And the part at the very end, where the enchantress is waylaid upon exiting the castle, thrown into a black carriage and spirited into the night? Well, it didn't sound as epic and grand. She never included it. Almost anyone else would have run out of thoughts by this point. Almost anyone else would have given in to the finality of the oubliette until she forgot herself entirely. A few of her thoughts were crazy, spinning around and around the dried tea kettle that was now the inside of her head. If she wasn't careful, they would become too speedy, break free, and seek escape through the cracks of her mind. But that way lay madness, and she wasn't quite there yet. 10 years, and she had almost forgotten herself, but not quite. Footsteps down the hall. She shut her eyes as tight as possible against the madness from without that tried to intrude upon her black, personal madness. Chattering voices. Another set of footsteps. The swish-swish of a rank mop against the endlessly slimy floors. The clink of keys.
"No need to do that one. It's empty."
"But it's locked. Why would it be locked if it's empty?"
She had to scream. She had to shake. She had to explode. Anything rather than let the dialogue repeat itself yet again as it had for the last 4,000 days in only slightly different iterations.
"Oh, this one's locked. But do you hear something inside?"
"This door's closed. You think it's locked?"
"The one down here is locked, but I don't remember anyone being put down here."
It was as if God were trying out all the different possible lines in the mummer's farce that was her life, and still hadn't gotten it quite right. The next 2 minutes were as predictable as the words from a parent to a child who knows she has misbehaved and chafes under the inevitability of the sentences hurled at her. Turn of the key in the lock. Door creaking open. A hideous face. Hideous only in its familiarity. The same look of surprise as always and every day since forever began. The face's owner carried a tray with her in the hand that didn't have the keys. Behind her, in the hall, stood the woman with the mop. And behind her stood a large and silent man who was ready to subdue any of the prisoners not tied down. The prisoner found herself opening her eyes, curiosity getting the better of her survival instinct. Today's tray had 4 bowls of broth. Sometimes it was 5, sometimes it was 3. Sometimes there was only 1.
Lucky for you, I got an extra,
the one with the tray said, settling herself down in a filthy tuffet of skirts and aprons. This line never changed, ever. The prisoner screamed, unable to contain herself, unable to keep herself from looking forward to that one thing each day, the thin gruel that passed for nourishment. The woman with the mop muttered indignantly.
I didn't hear nothing about a new one, I can tell you that. Thought they'd done a right good job clearing these sorts out of the world. Well, there's one now. There you go. Finish up now.
The woman said it with the same false tenderness she expressed every time. The bowl tipped faster, broth trickled down the sides of the prisoner's neck, and, despite herself, she got desperate, straining against the chains and sticking her tongue out to get every last drop before the bowl was removed.
This one is old enough to be a mother,
the gruel woman said without a trace of emotion or sentiment.
Think of that, them having children and raising them and all. Like animals, all of them. Animals raise their children too. I don't know why they keep them around. Kill them and be done with it.
Oh, soon enough. Soon enough, no doubt, the broth hag said philosophically, getting up.
They don't last long around here.
Except, of course, it had been 10 years now. This time the hag didn't bother to toss some platitude over her shoulder as she left. The prisoner's existence was forgotten the moment she touched the door and was on her way out. It would be all new again for her and her horrible companion tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that. The prisoner screamed one last time, finally and uncontrollably, as the darkness closed in. She had to start the story again. If she just started the story and played it through, everything would be all right. Once upon a time, in a faraway land, a young prince lived in a shining castle. Before the beginning. Once upon a time, slightly longer ago than before, there was a kingdom whose name and very existence have long since been forgotten. While the rest of the world was fighting for control of new lands across the seas, inventing ever more deadly weapons, and generously gifting their own religion to foreign people who didn't want it, this kingdom just splendidly was. It had fertile croplands, dense hunting forests, a neat little hamlet, and the prettiest postcard castle anyone had ever seen. In happier years, because of its removed location in an out-of-the-way valley, it was a lodestone for the artistic, the different, the clever.
Les charmantes.
They fled there as the modern world closed in on the rest of Europe. The little kingdom passed the Dark Ages and the Renaissance peacefully and uneventfully. Only now were the diseases of civilized man finally catching up. Even so, here there were still fortune tellers who could actually tell your fortune, farmers who could pull water from stone during a dry season, and performers who could really turn boys into doves, and sometimes back. The kingdom also drew those who didn't have powers, precisely, but their own unusual natural talents and quirks, those who felt comfortable among the other folk. Misfits and dreamers, poets and musicians, nice oddballs, finding refuge there in a world that didn't want them. One was a young man named Maurice. The son of a tinker, he had both the will to wander and the skill to fix and invent. Unlike his father, however, he felt a change in the ancient air of Europe. Wonderful mechanical change. A future filled with weaving mills powered by steam, balloons that could carry people to far-off lands, and stoves that could cook meals all by themselves. Determined to be part of all this, Maurice looked to both the past, the steam engines of Hero, and the present, desperately chatting up anyone who had a first-hand account of the marvels he had read about. His longing
Sample complete. Ready to continue?